This morning, we're going to kind of continue on with what Pastor Chris has been preaching, except we're going to leave the Ten Commandments. He asked that I not preach on those, so I guess I'll do that one thing for him. But we're going through this series, Law for Living. And many times there's something that inside of us that just kind of cringes when we hear the term law. Things that come to mind are legalism and things that we have to do to earn salvation. But in reality, God's law is something far greater than that. It was never meant for that. It was meant to guide and direct us to live as he wanted us to live. But we don't like that. It's not that we have a problem with law, but we want to be the lawmaker. We don't have a problem with setting up rules and regulations for our life. We just want to be the ones that decide that. But God, being the creator, has the authority to establish the way that we should live, knows the best way that we should live, and he's laid that out for us in his word. When I was about 16 or 17, we got this big snowstorm, and I remember it was probably about a foot of snow. We lived down a gravel road, and I was getting ready to go to church. Dad was going to let me borrow his pickup truck. It was a nice big four-door, three-quarter-ton Chevy, brand new, something every teenage boy would love to drive. And I was pumped. I was going to drive in the snow. I was going to drive the big truck, go to church, and go see some friends afterwards. And it was going to be a great time. And as I was getting ready to leave, Dad's like, listen, you need to pack your coveralls, get a warm coat, throw in a shovel just in case you get stuck. That way you can dig yourself out. And then he's also said, make sure you be careful when you go down the gravel road because it's slick in spots that you don't really know. Yeah, Dad, whatever. So I continue on thinking that I know better. I'm a better driver than he thinks I am. I can handle things better than he thinks I can. I don't need that stuff. So I get in the truck, get ready to go to church, and I'm driving down the road and come up on this really, really easy curve. I mean, barely a curve. It's almost straight. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, I feel the back end go like this. The back end starts coming around, snow flies up into the windshield, I can't see a thing, and before you know it, I'm facing the other direction, and I have successfully parallel parked, going the opposite direction I was, in the ditch. And I'm like, oh my, what have I done? I barely missed the fence, I barely got away without damaging Dad's truck. I've got to get this thing out so they don't know. So I try to get it out, and I get out of the truck, and the snow's to the floorboard, and the tires are spinning, and I think to myself, I don't have a shovel, I don't have a jacket, I don't have coveralls, and it's cold. So I had to do what every teenage boy doesn't want to do in that moment. I had to get up the courage to call Dad and say, Dad, I'm stuck. I didn't bring anything that you told me to bring. I need you to come pull me out. So Him and my grandpa, they come, they pull me out and get me going to church and go on my way. And then when I get home, you have that talk. If you just listened to me, you wouldn't have gotten into this situation. And, if I would have went the right speed, if I would have taken what I needed, even if I had got stuck, I would have had what I needed to get out. But I ignored his instruction. I thought I knew better. And I ended up in a place where I was going the wrong direction I wanted to go, and I was stuck. And, I'm sure many of us have been in situations like that before, maybe not in a pickup truck in a ditch, but maybe you've been given instruction, maybe somebody in your life that has a higher authority than you has told you how to do something a certain way, but you thought, you know what, I think I can figure this out a little bit better. Then you go into doing it and you find out maybe they were right and you get yourself in a predicament where you have to call them back and get them to come in and help fix the situation. We've all been there. Maybe with your kids, you've experienced this, where you tell them to do something a certain way, and they go off and experience that way and mess things up, and you have to come in and fix the situation. I think we've all experienced that. And it wasn't much different for Adam and Eve in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we see this picture in the story of man at the beginning of creation, living in paradise. God had created the world. He created paradise. He created man. He put man in it. And we all know what happens. Man screws it up. And, man was given dominion over all the earth and had only been given one stipulation. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know what happens next. The serpent comes to the woman and says, did God really say you couldn't eat of any tree in the garden? Notice, he twists God's word a little bit. God says don't eat of that tree, but Satan comes in, the serpent comes in and says, did God really say you shouldn't eat of any tree? So he takes God's word and he adds to it. He adds more stipulations, more regulations to it to make man begin to question whether or not this is really a good thing. But the woman answers, and she replies, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The woman replies, no, God said we could eat of the other trees, just not that one. Then the serpent replies, you will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And we all know what happens next in this story, that they see the fruit is good to eat. They see that it's to be desired to make them wise. And she and Adam ate it, and the rest is history, right? The fall happens, they're separated from God, and we're in the predicament that we are in today. But what we need to realize in this moment is it was more than eating a fruit. The temptation that they faced was more than just whether they were going to eat something or not. The temptation that they faced was whether they were going to establish their own rules. Whether they were going to submit themselves to God's word, or whether they were going to reject God's word and claim for themselves the authority to determine what was right and wrong for themselves. And you know, when you think about it, you know, many times we look at the law and we think, man, it's just a limitation. All these rules and all these things that God says that we should do to live for him, they just weigh us down. They limit us on what we can do. But you know, I think it's really the opposite. When we look at the garden experience in the fall, we see that Adam and Eve had thousands of options, thousands of good options. Think of all the trees, all the fruit that was available in the garden. They could literally eat of any of it, except for one. Except for one tree they couldn't eat. You know, the real limitation was in the law, not in their freedom. They had complete freedom to choose whatever God had given them to eat and enjoy, but there was just one thing. We think that God's law limits us, but in reality, the real limits come when we don't follow his law. We don't follow his word, his instruction for us. If they would have followed his instruction, they had limitless possibilities of all the fruits that they could eat, all the things that they could enjoy. But when they decided to reject God's word, to decide for themselves what was right and wrong, they were limited to one tree, one fruit, one option. And in that, we know the fall came and they were enslaved to sin, that the man was corrupt from that point on. Man rejected God and decided to establish his own standards for living. Essentially, the temptation was to determine what was right and wrong for himself rather than allow God to determine it for him. You know, and I think at the heart of every sin is the desire to claim our own authority. Every sin we commit is driven by our innate desire to rule ourselves. You know, think about that. Every choice that you make that doesn't line up with God's word, you are determining what is right for yourself. You are determining what is wrong for yourself. We struggle with this sin today. We think that we know best. We want to do what feels right. We reject the truth of God and we trade it for a lie. We want to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Our culture teaches us this, and this philosophy is in everything. I was doing a search on the internet just to find some examples. And, you know, we're taught this from a young age. Trust your intuition. Trust your heart. You know, just do what feels right. In one of a Disney movie called Mulan, there's a theme song for it that's entitled True to Your Heart. I'm going to read for you some of the lyrics in this, and I want you to think about what it's saying. Though you're unsure, why fight the tide? Don't think so much. Let your heart decide. You must be true to your heart. That's when the heavens will part. Open your eyes. Your heart can tell no lies. Why second guess what feels so right? It comes natural for us to trust our own intuition. It comes natural for us to rely on ourselves to establish our own authority in what is right and what is wrong. And the culture reinforces this. You know, look around at our culture today and we see people wanting to establish what is right and wrong for themselves. People wanting to establish what their gender is after it's already been decided. People wanting to establish what their race is after it's already been decided. People don't like rules and regulations unless they set them. They don't have a problem with law. They have a problem with the lawmaker. Our problem this morning is not that we have all these laws. Our problem is with God and the one who has claimed authority on our life, that has the authority on our life, to tell us how to live. Because of our sinful state, we find ourselves in this predicament. Mankind does not have a problem with law. Man just wants to be the lawmaker. It's not that we don't want standards. It's not that we don't want boundaries in our lives, but we want to decide what those are. We don't want anybody to impose those on us. We want to establish that for ourselves. While the world tells us to follow our heart, God declares in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Did you catch that? God says that our heart is deceitful and desperately sick. That because of the fall, because of sin, it has radically changed who we are, and that we can't trust our own intuition. We can't trust what feels right. We need a standard in our life to measure what is right and what is wrong. All of us struggle with this in some way or another. We all deal with the problem of wanting to set our own standards, and it manifests itself in many different ways. You know, for some, maybe it's telling a little lie. I know God commands me to be truthful, but it's just one little lie. It won't hurt anybody. For others, maybe it's an addiction, something they struggle with. I know this is wrong, but, you know, it's not going to hurt to do it one more time. Or maybe it's knowing that God has asked you to do something. Maybe God has called you to do something. Maybe you know that God is speaking into your life and calling you to serve more, to give more of your time and your resources. And you think to yourself, God doesn't really know my situation. I think I can handle this better. Regardless of what is going on in our life, we all struggle with this problem of submitting to God's authority because we want to be our own authority. We look at the Bible and we see all these rules, all these laws, and we think to ourselves, you know what, I can do just fine on my own. I want to set my own rules, my own standards. Nobody really obeys all the Bible anyway, so why should I try? What we need to understand this morning is that God has a better plan for our life than we could ever imagine. When we set out to do things our own way, we fail to reach the potential that God desires for us. When we set out to do things our own way, we end up going the wrong way. You know, just like when I was headed to church, not listening to the instructions that I've been giving my dad, it landed me in a position where I was going the wrong direction in which I wanted to go. God, and I think many times we have a desire to do what's right. We have a desire to serve God and to live for Him. But we still try to be our own authority. We still try to determine for ourselves what our boundaries are. It doesn't work that way. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wonder what God wants me to do in this situation? Have you ever stopped to think or even pray about what God might want you to do when something comes up in your life? Or maybe put it this way, I wonder what God's will is for my life. What is God's plan for me? What am I supposed to do? These are good questions. These are something that we should seek out every day in our life. But we usually only do it when things aren't going right or we don't quite have an answer. You know, we like to follow our own compass. We like to follow our own rules and standards for our life until things get messed up, and then we call on God to come and fix things. But if all along, if we would have just listened to what He had said, we'd never found ourselves in that predicament. We would have never had a call and say, look, I'm stuck. You have to come to that moment to God and say, look, I know I shouldn't have been doing this. I need you to forgive me. I need you to set me straight. You know, the great news this morning is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And through His death and resurrection, He paved the way for you and I to get back on the right track. Now, as we've seen so far, all of us are heading in the wrong direction when we set out to determine for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. When we determine for ourselves our own boundaries and standards for life. And the only way that this is going to get fixed in our life is if God steps in to our lives and sets us straight, sets us in the right direction. You know, we've got to call on Him, confess our sin to Him, tell Him what we've done, ask Him to forgive us, ask Him to set us straight, and then follow with what He's given. When I was just graduated college, I had about a week of freedom. That week in life where you're out of college and you don't have any more school, and the week before you go to work and enter the real world, I had 1 week of freedom. And me and my buddy decided that, you know what, we're going to take this week and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to take a long trip. We're going to go to a theme park in Ohio, and then we're going to go camping. So we take off, and we start on this trip and go to the theme park and look at the weather, and it's raining where we're going to go camping. So we decide, you know what, hey, let's just make a big road trip out of it. And we end up driving about 4,000 miles in about 4 days. 16-hour days in the car, long. Little Honda Civic loaded down with camping gear. You can't lay back. It was tight, crammed, and packed. And we had everything that we needed except for one thing. We didn't take a map. Didn't take a map. And we were going to a place that we had never been, and just hoping that it was going to work out. We did have one thing, I will confess. We had an iPhone 1, and 3G was starting to gain popularity, and you could get it every now and then. So if you'd wait long enough, you'd get a map to load, and you kind of get a picture of where you were, and you could go on your way and figure things out. Well, on the fourth day of this trip, we're heading back, and it's pouring down rain. You can't see 10 feet in front of you. We don't know where we're at. We're in some podunk town, West Virginia. And we come to a stoplight, and we're looking for a hotel. And I was the co-pilot sitting in the passenger seat, and he was driving. It was his car. And we're sitting at the stoplight trying to figure out what to do. Phone's not loading. We're growing impatient. We're tired. We've been in the car for 16 hours. We're just ready to get into a bed, go to sleep. So we're sitting in this light. I can kind of see lights off to the left of us, and I think the main strip's over that direction. So I say, you know what? If we just turn here, we'll find the main strip. Just take a left, and we'll figure it out. We won't worry about the phone. It's a small town. You know, how messed up, how lost could we get? So he takes a left. He follows my instruction. He takes a left, and we get a block down the road, and all of a sudden, there's two cop cars behind us, two cop cars in front of us, and we're surrounded. And we're thinking, what in the world's going on? Officers are standing on the sidewalk underneath the awnings of the buildings next to us, standing out of the rain. One of the officers comes up, knocks on the window. I roll it down. I don't know why he came to the passenger side. It was, I guess, to stay dry. But he comes to the passenger side window, knocks on it. I roll it down, and we're like, well, what's going on? He says, do you boys know that you're driving the wrong way down a one-way? I had accidentally told him to turn down a one-way street the wrong direction. I didn't see a sign. I wasn't paying attention to the map. We found ourselves in a predicament where we were going the wrong direction on a one-way road in some town that we'd never been, some town that we didn't know where we were going. And it took us getting pulled over. It took someone of a higher authority in that town to stop us from where we were going, to set us straight and point us in the right direction and tell us how to get to where we wanted to go. Officer helps us out. You know, we don't get a ticket or anything. They understand that we're from Missouri. We don't have a clue where we're at. He points us on our way, and we find our hotel and stay for the night. But what happened in this moment is that we had found ourselves in a huge predicament. You know, I was relying on my own understanding to navigate us to our hotel. I was relying on my own intuition to get us where we wanted to go. But by doing this, we ended up going the wrong direction on a one-way street. And it took someone of greater authority in that town than us to get our attention, to turn us around, and to set us on the right path. When we set out to do things our own way instead of God's way, it's like driving down a one-way the wrong way. When we set out to do things the way that we want to do them, it's like driving down a one-way the wrong way. In order for us to correct our course, we need God to step into our lives and set us straight. We need God to show us what His will is for our lives so that we can head in the right direction. So that we can know the turns to take, the decisions to make in life. So we know how to handle the situations that come up, good or bad. Through the work of Christ, God has stepped into our life, into our world, in order to stop us from going the wrong way. Not only has God come to us to help us get set straight, but He's also given us all that we need in order to overcome the desire to do it our own way. One of my favorite verses, I preached on this 2 years ago at the youth conference, is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." What this means is that in Christ, you have been graciously given all that you need for life, for knowing God intimately, and for godliness to live in obedience to His commands. Because of what Christ has done, we can know God and live to obey Him. Because what Christ did for you and me on the cross, dying that death to take the penalty of our sin, we can now not only know God, but we can be empowered to live. It means obedience to Him. To connect it with what I said earlier, it means that God, in all of His power, has come to you in Christ, initiated contact so that you may know Him, and through this, He has given you the ability to fall under His authority. And not only did Christ save you from your sin, but He has given you all that you need to live under His authority and His instructions. And this is great news because we know that we can't do it. We know our heart's deceitful among all things. We know that our intuition leads us the wrong direction. We know that when we do what feels right, it leads us to destruction. It leads us to a place that we never wanted to be. But God loves us so much that He came to us. He stepped in as a higher authority. He stepped in to set us straight and put us on the right direction and gave us what we needed to get to where we need to go. While we desired to do it our own way, God stepped in and fixed the problem. In our sin, we were headed the wrong way on a one way, and God stepped in, turned us the right direction, and gave us all that we needed to press on. But you know what? It doesn't end there. Now that we have been set straight, we have to progress in that direction. So it would have been something if the officer would have just stopped us and said, "Look, you're going down a one-way street. You need to turn around and go a different way." It's something totally different for that officer who stopped us to say, "You know what? You guys need to turn around, you need to take a left up here at the light, take another right, take another left, and you'll find the hotel." God doesn't just come into our lives to point us in the right direction. God has came to us to point us in the right direction and gives us the instructions to take, the path to follow. So that if we would submit ourselves to Him, to submit ourselves to His law, to His word, we would know what steps to take. Maybe not all the specifics, maybe not all the limited details that we like to figure out of what career we want or what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go to college or whether we're supposed to buy this house or go to this job or whatever it may be. But we'll know how to handle those situations. We'll know how to weigh the costs in those situations. We'll know how to measure it against God's word and determine if this is something that God would want us to do. When a person comes to Christ and receives salvation, we're not automatically perfect. We know this. It's not like one minute you're lost, the next minute you're saved, and you have it all figured out. Now, we don't walk the aisle, confess our sins to God, and then stand up glorified and perfect. It doesn't work that way. More times than not, it takes hard work, it takes time, it takes progression. Now, this work doesn't save a person because this person has already been saved. Now, when we begin to talk about God's law and all that He requires for our life, so many times we go to the issue of salvation. But if you notice, even with the Israelites, he didn't give them the law until he had already redeemed them. He didn't give them the law until he'd already set them free from their captivity. He didn't tell them how to live until he removed them from a situation where they couldn't live as God wanted them to live. In our own life, God comes to us through Christ to save us from our sin, to give us salvation freely and graciously. But after that, God has requirements. God has a path to put you on. This work is the work of obedience. It's striving to walk in the direction that God has laid out. It's submitting ourselves to God's directions and commands because we acknowledge they are better than ours. Because we acknowledge that He has the authority over us to do so. Now, we're going to struggle with this issue for the rest of our life, this issue of trying to claim our own authority. And it's only in God's Word, it's only in Christ that we can find the remedy to this. So that as we continually go to Him, continually go to His Word and pray and ask God for strength, ask God for direction and for discernment, that we can begin to walk in the right direction. God desires for us not only to come to know Him, but to live in obedience to Him. God's will for our life is that we would look more and more on every day. You know, many times we think about God's will and we put it in a picture of career choices, family choices. Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? And we think of it as a material thing. But the reality is God's will for our life is much deeper than that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 states, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." God's plan, God's will for your life, is for you to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy, to be made more like His Son. It means being set apart for God and God alone. It means essentially that we are to become more like Christ every day that we live. It's growing in holiness. It's overcoming our sinful desires and eradicating the sin from our lives. It's allowing God to set the standards in all the areas of our lives. Saying, "God, you know I desire to do this, but I know that you tell me to do otherwise, so I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to obey you, even though I have a desire to do something else." It's not always easy. It takes hard work. You're already saved. You've already been given everything you need in Christ. Now it's time to walk. This is made possible through Christ. It is through a relationship with Christ that we are given the ability to attain our sanctification. And once we come to know Him, we must take what He has given us and begin to work towards that goal of sanctification. Now that we've been turned around and we are facing the right direction, we have to begin to walk. If we would have turned around on that street and not gone anywhere, it would have done no good. We had to turn around, change our direction, and we had to drive forward. We had to press on. We had to follow the instructions that we had been given so that we could find that destination that we sought. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable of God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." After coming to Christ, we are to begin to strive to fall under the authority of God and live in obedience to Him. We are not to be conformed to this world. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to trust our intuition. We're supposed to submit ourselves to His Word and allow it to speak into our life and determine our own boundaries. We're not supposed to live like those who don't know Christ, working to establish their own authority. And we're supposed to submit ourselves to God. In this, we are transformed by the renewal of our mind. This transformation process of sanctification happens through the study of God's Word. In John 17:17, Jesus is praying to the Father in the garden before He's going to be crucified. And he asks God, "Lord, sanctify them in truth. Your Word is truth." How else are you going to fall under God's authority if you don't take the time to know what He has said? and going to God's word through the power of Christ and what he has done for us in our lives, we are to set out to obey it. We're to set out to understand it, to seek God in it, to know what he wants for us, to see how he instructs us to live and to strive to do it. When we do this, when we get into his word and study it, then and only then will we be able to walk in the direction God has intended for us. Only then can we find out what God's will is in every situation. We have to submit ourselves to his word. You know, if I would have taken time to let that map load, if I would have been patient and just allowed that to pull up, we would have seen the right direction to go. You know, many times in our own life, we get impatient and we want to know, we want the answer right now. God, what am I supposed to do? And we grow impatient, so we make a decision on our own. And we see this in Abraham's life. He gets impatient, makes a decision, and it screws things up, and God has to fix it. Many times in our life, we grow impatient with God, and we revert back to our old way of determining for ourselves what's the best situation, what's the best choice to make. But really, we just need to submit to him and wait. In our sinful state, we desire to be our own authority and set our own rules to live by. We live as though we were driving the wrong way on a one-way. But God, in his grace, has stepped in with an authority that only he has and set us in the right direction. And after having done that through his Son, he now calls us to walk in that direction. God doesn't just turn us in the right direction. He calls us to walk. He comes into our life, sets us straight, and says, now it's time to follow me. Now it's time to walk in the right direction. I'm going to wrap things up here with one final thought. I want you to really think about this and let this soak in as we continue this study on law for living. We call ourselves Christians and we claim to be followers of Christ. But what is a Christian? A Christian is an imitator of Christ. A person striving to be like him. The only way that I know of knowing what Christ is like is in his word. In the Old and the New Testament. Christ said that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That even the Old Testament speaks of Christ's character and nature. Let me ask you this. Being a Christian, striving to be like Christ, was there any law which Christ did not follow? Was there any command that God had given that Christ ignored? You know, we're saved by grace through faith. But from that salvation, we are called to be sanctified. Called to become like Christ. We were headed the wrong direction, down a one way. Trusting our own intuition, heading for destruction, God stepped in with an authority that only he had to stop us in our tracks, turn us in the right direction. Now he calls us to press forward. The question I want to end with this morning is this. Are we striving as a people to obey God in all that he has commanded? Or do we desire to be our own God? Now, it's interesting. Last week we talked about the first commandment that we should have no other gods before him. Many times in our life, that God is us. This morning, through his word, he's calling us to repent, believe in him, and submit to his authority.